Thank you. It is a blessing to be here today. Enjoyed the song service. Amen. What a joy it is to be in a place where the Word of God is lifted up through song. And praise God for all the children that are working. And that's always a blessing to see. That means that there'll be music in the future. Amen. As the young people train and learn that. That's an important thing in the church, to raise up the next generation. Because I know some of you are getting old. Amen. And I'm not yet, because I still have to do Bible schools, all right? But I'm just going to stay young somehow. But you know, it is, as you get longer in life, you start thinking about who's going to do the next steps, who's going to do the next steps. And it's good to see a church that has young people that are doing things. And I hope that you'll pray for them, because the world is hard, amen? And it wants to take away the next generation. Satan would like to capture them and destroy them. And it takes an older generation to set the example and to lead them forward. The book of Matthew, chapter number 4 this morning. The book of Matthew and chapter number 4. We're going to read several verses and look at two words throughout the scriptures. And we were speaking in Sunday school about revival. And revival is about returning to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that our Savior, when He was on this earth, He gave us the principle of how to live the Christian life, how to maintain revival, to live in a place where we are where God wants us to be. And so begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 12. It says, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, He departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, and that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the regions and the shadow of death, light is sprung up." And boy, that is truly what is needful in our world today, for the light to shine. But continuing on in verse 17, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Verse 20 is just an amazing verse. It says, "And they straightway left their nets and followed him." I want to speak this morning about that thought about following Christ, or as Jesus put it, He said, "Follow me." Let's pray, and then we'll look at the scriptures. Father in heaven, I ask that You would help us today. Lord, just a little while ago, we sang a song as a congregation, "I have decided to follow Jesus, to follow Christ." And Lord, we read here in the Word of God of Your ministry when You walked on this earth, and You used those words, the simplicity, "Follow me." And Lord, those men, they forsook everything. And they did exactly that. They followed You. Lord, we live in a world today where there are many followings. There are many paths. And God, I pray this morning You would remind us of the one path, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And that, God, we would not be sitting on it, but we'd be walking on it. And we'd be following You. Lord, help me to speak today the words that You once spoke. And help our ears to be open, attentive. Help our hearts to be hearing. Lord, help us to do more than just hear it, but help us to respond. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can see this pattern of our Lord in His ministry. As He came across people, He used these simple words, "Follow me." Turn over, if you would, to the book of Matthew and chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9, once again, He's going along, He's teaching, He's doing the miracles, and obviously His fame is being spread abroad. I don't for just a moment want to suppose that when Jesus said to Peter, to Andrew, when He said, "Follow me," that it was the first time they'd ever heard of Jesus Christ. We know of John the Baptist, who went around and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." We know that Christ did miracles, and people were not blindly following Him. Following someone is a choice you make because of the information that you have. You know, if somebody said to you today, just came by and said, "I'm going to this town, follow me," you'd kind of want to know that they actually know where they're going, right? I don't know if you've ever followed someone that led you astray. A few years ago, I was down in Texas where my daughter's in school, and the pastor's wife there, or is his mother now, the former pastor's wife, she was going back to the house where my RV was parked, and I saw her leave the parking lot, and I didn't want to bother punching in my GPS, so I said, I'll just follow her. And boy, we got out on the road, and there's a lot of bit of traffic down there, and it was nighttime, and I thought I was following her. And the funny thing is we're driving down the road, and I'm trying to keep up, and we're hitting 70, 75, 80, and I'm thinking, wow, she drives fast for an elderly lady, amen? I'm thinking, this is fun, you know, and boy, we're zipping along trying to keep up, and then we're going the right way, and then we get right to where I know the turn is that goes up into the neighborhood that the house was at, and she just zips right on by it. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. She must be going somewhere. So I took the turn, and I get in. I park my truck, and a little bit later, here comes the pastor's mother in driving there, you know, and she stops, and I said, man, you were driving fast. She said, no, and we'd followed the wrong car the whole way, and it was somebody else. And I'm glad they were going the same general direction, right? Who knows where I'd have been, you know? And I'm glad I didn't get a ticket, too, you know, But who you're following has a lot. You want to make sure they know where they're going. And so when we read these verses about Christ, it's not like he just walked up to a stranger who had no knowledge of who he was and said, follow me. And they said, okay, sounds good. There was an understanding of who Christ was. And you see that here even in Matthew chapter number 9, as he's doing miracles, he's preaching, he's teaching. And read verse number 8. It says, when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Verse 9, as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and he saith unto him, follow me. The same two words, but the same response. This man Matthew, the Bible says, he arose and followed him. John chapter number 1 gives this to us one more time. Why would a man like Matthew get up from his tax collecting, from his business, from his income, abandon it, and just start following Jesus? Why would those disciples who were fishing by the seashore, when Jesus came along and said, follow me, they would just get up and they would abandon it, leaving their family business? And once again, the book of John, chapter number 1, we'll pick up the reading in verse number 43. It says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, there's the two words, follow me. Now, we don't get the Bible telling us that Philip forsook everything and followed him, but we do see verse number 45, where Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And so we have an understanding that Philip understood who Jesus was. And his understanding of who Jesus Christ was caused him to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, the message is no different. I believe that if Jesus Christ could interact with us in a physical, tangible way today, if he could come to your house or come to your place of employment or visit us today in this church, I believe he would have many things to teach us, but he would still have one command, and that would be just as it was in the days of his life, follow me. This morning, you should ask yourself a question, am I following Christ? As I said a few moments ago, when you hear those words, it gives us some simple thoughts. If someone says, follow me, then we make the assumption that they are going someplace and that they know the way. I think we could turn over to the book of John chapter 14 for just a moment. I think it's very clear about our Lord and Savior. In John 14, he began the chapter by saying, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I believe that sums up probably what we might say is the big problem in the world today, is that people believe in God, but they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, wait a second. You say, Brother Bill, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question. What does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So to believe in Jesus Christ is not just to believe in a painting of a man on a cross who was dead, buried, and resurrected. It means to believe what is written in His Word. The problem today is people say they believe in God, but they don't believe in His Word. And you'll meet people and you'll talk to them about salvation, and they believe in salvation by works. And they believe in salvation by baptism. They believe in salvation by church attendance. They believe in salvation by, you know, whatever else it might be. And we would say to them, then you don't believe in Jesus Christ because you don't believe what the Bible says about salvation. Is that not correct? They believe in God, but they don't believe in what? Jesus Christ. But wait a second, what about the person that says, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe that he was buried. I believe that he arose. I believe that he's coming again someday. I believe that he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that he saved me from my sins. But then when you take the same word of God that shows about salvation, and you begin to use the same word of God to give them direction for their life, and they say, I don't believe that. Now you have a conflict, don't you? Now I'm not questioning their salvation. I'm just saying they have a problem with following what the Bible says. Jesus said, follow me. Now I know you've been following people before and they're going someplace, and while you're following them, you have all these bright ideas about there's a better way to go, right? You can always ask people that are going places, how should you get there? And everybody's got their own way of getting there, right? And the key is this, though. If you're supposed to be following someone and they know the way, do you have any right to go any other way? Does Jesus Christ know the way of life? Yes. We often look to our salvation, but we forget that it's more than just being saved. That God has a direction for our life today. And jump ahead to verse number 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This morning, do you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the way? We won't turn back to it this morning, but you could go back to the story of the children of Israel as they walked out of the land of Egypt. And you remember what God gave them? He gave them a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by the day, and their life was controlled by that cloud. If the cloud moved, they moved. If the cloud didn't move, they didn't move. Their life was dictated. Their journey was based upon how God moved. Oh, that today God's people would come back to that type of a mindset, that their life is dictated by the word of God. Could you imagine the size of that crowd? And all of a sudden, the trumpets were sounding and they were saying, it's time to move. The cloud is moving. Do you think that everybody wanted to move on that day? Could you imagine that? We can't even get people to agree on a place to eat in the crowd of 10 or 20 people, right? Well, we don't want to go here. Could you imagine the grumbling, the murmuring, and people saying, oh, I can't. But it didn't matter. The cloud's moving, and they had to move. And then there'd be other days where it would sit. They'd get up and say, boy, we want to go today. We want to go somewhere today. And the cloud just stayed there. Didn't matter what they felt. Didn't matter what they thought. They had a responsibility to follow. Isn't that what following is all about? Jesus said, follow me. I love it when you're going somewhere and someone's supposed to be following and they race in front of you on the interstate and get in front of you and they don't know where they're going. And now you're flashing your lights at them, blowing the horn because the exit's up there and you're trying to get in front of them and you just watch them go by. You take the exit. They'll figure it out sooner or later. But there's a lot of Christians that do that in their life. Running their own path, going their own way. The Bible is very clear that God knows the way. And just like Jesus Christ knows the way of salvation, and you believed on that, you trusted in that, he knows the way of your life. Can anybody here tell me what's going to happen tomorrow? Now, we have plans tomorrow, right? But can you really tell me what's going to happen tomorrow? Now, you might be a pretty good guesser and get it right, you know, 20% of the time, 30% of the time, 50% of the time. And you might get to thinking, see, I'm pretty good. Like a weatherman, right? I love it. They give him an award, then you trust him, and he's so wrong. Because even as predictable as the weather is, there's still really no guarantees. Because things can change so quick, right? And so it is with life. But there is one that knows tomorrow. That's God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he says, follow me. I think the word follow me also has an indication of some action. I do believe that there is a time when we are to be waiting in the sense that God is saying, wait. There's a time here where you're not going forward. But truly, when you say, follow me, you're going somewhere. And you get that idea from the Lord Jesus Christ that when he said, follow me, he didn't stand there and wait. You kind of get the idea that he said, what? Follow me. And then he started what? Going somewhere. Have you ever done that with your children? How many of you ever left your kids standing in the yard because they didn't get in the car? Don't raise your hand, all right? But, you know, you said, we're leaving, and either get in or you're getting what? Left behind, you know? And it's, I don't think Jesus Christ stood there and waited while they were trying to make up their mind. Should we go or should we not go? He said, follow me, and he what? He went. Follow me indicates action. I believe that God's people are called to follow Christ, which means we are conforming to his image and we are going to his way. But I believe that following me means we are doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is activity. It's not just sitting and sitting and sitting and sitting and sitting. God says, I have a way. He said, this is the way. Walk ye in it. I believe that indecisiveness is an indication of a lack of following. I believe in my own personal life when I'm struggling about doing something, it's not because God hasn't told me, it's because I'm fearful of following. God doesn't leave his people sitting in a land of nothing. God wants us to be busy for. He says, my beloved brethren, therefore abounding, the Bible says, in the work of the Lord. Not just. Now, does our life change at times? Yes. Our activities might change at times. But God's business is a life of busyness. Following. You can't follow from a distance, right? You know, I'm following you. Well, pretty soon, it's gone. Sooner or later, you have to start doing what God wants you to do. I believe that sometimes in revival, what is necessary is God has been talking to people. God has been telling people, this is your next step. This is what you need to do. And really, the revival that God has for you is you take the step. Sometimes that's very difficult to do. Sometimes that first step of following is so fearful. But the amazing thing is if you're following Christ, it works. Now make sure you're following Christ. Make sure you're not following your flesh. Make sure you're not following your emotions. Make sure you are following him. Look over in Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. Following Christ is not always the path of ease. Mark chapter number 8, Jesus said these words in verse number 34. And when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, that's the same as follow me, right? Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. To follow Christ, you have to deny yourself. You have to say, I'm not in charge. He is. I'll follow him. Sometimes we sing the song, where he leads me, I will follow. That's hard, isn't it? Because could I ask you a question this morning? Does God always lead you where you want to go? I've said this before, and I try to say it as often as I can remember to say it, because I've asked God to help me change this thinking in my life. Many times I used to say a statement like this, that if I was God, this is how I would have done it. And boy, God convicted me about that. Because if I was God, I would have done it the exact way God did it. Because God makes no mistakes. Amen? Boy, I found myself saying that so many times in my life. Well, if I was God, this is how I would have done it. That's such a foolish statement when you think about it. That's like saying God got it wrong, but he never does. But I do say that God doesn't always lead us where we want to go. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you want to go through the valley of the shadow of death? But let me help you with something. God's going to lead every single person through that valley someday. Death is real. And God's going to lead us into it. Do we enjoy the burdens of sickness? No. But is God going to lead us through the burdens of sickness? Oh yeah, he does he not? Is God going to lead us through the valleys of family troubles? Oh, sure he is. You say, well, I just can't believe that. No, life is... Is God going to lead us through the mountains of great victories? Absolutely, we like those, don't we? That amazing thing. You see, following is not about picking and choosing and saying, well, God, if you're going on the mountain today, I will follow you. But let me see what the itinerary is today. Lord, I don't like that path. I'm not going today. I'm staying home. Is that how God's going to allow us to be? No. Following is, I don't need a schedule. I don't need an itinerary. I just got to do one thing. You take a step, I take a step. You take a step, I take a step. I actually like when I'm going somewhere and somebody else is driving and I'm in the car behind. You know why? I don't have to do anything but drive. All I got to do is keep my eyes on that car in front of me and I can chat and I don't got to worry about anything. Just make sure he doesn't have a bigger gas tank than me and life is great, you know? I just got to follow wherever they lead. You say, what if they get lost? Not my problem. I'm not the one leading. If people get upset, they can talk to him. He was leading. I don't like it when I'm the one leading the caravan, you know? I got to pay attention, make sure I don't make the exit, you know? Well, if we could just understand about Christ, following Christ is that simple. He's in charge. I just need to take every step, every day. Deny myself and follow him. Turn over to the book of Luke, chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. All throughout the ministry of Christ, he used these words, this principle, follow me, follow me, follow me. In Luke chapter 9, verse number 57, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Do you get the idea about follow me? Is Jesus isn't going to wait for you to go take care of your life first? We have a lot of young people here today. Can I just say something to the younger generation? Be careful about that. Be very careful about that. You say, I'll follow you, Jesus, but first I need to do this and this and this. First I need to get a career. First I need to get education. First I have to get a marriage. That's not what following Jesus is. Let me say to the older generation the same thing. Well, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but first I need to finish this. There's a funny song they sing over in South Africa about, Lord, aren't you so glad to have such a great Christian like me? And the song goes on about this person, you know, I'm just a great servant, and I'm going to start giving my tithe just as soon as I pay off my house. That's how the song goes, you know? I'm going to serve you as long as it's on the beach. And, you know, it's a funny little song they sing. And you wouldn't understand a lot of the words of the culture there or the locations. But it's all about, Lord, I'll put you first as long as I get everything else done first. And that's how we follow Christ, is it not? Lord, I'll follow you, but first I need to do this and this. Well, by the time you get done doing this and this, you're going to be looking for Jesus. And guess what? He's gone. And now you're going to be trying to figure out where he went. What am I supposed to do? You say, well, what if I've already done that? Now what do I do? That's called repentance. That's coming back to God and saying, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I didn't follow you. Would you please give me another opportunity? Would you show me the next step so I can find where you are and I will follow you? I like the fact that when you say follow me, it means that others are following also. If we went back to our text earlier, when Jesus said, follow me, when they followed, others followed them. This morning, could I say to all of you that someone is following you? Someone is following your footsteps. The question is, are your footsteps putting them in the path of Jesus Christ? Or have they gotten behind you and you have veered off and they're no longer following Christ, they're following you? What a frightful thing that is that someone is looking at me and expecting me to follow Christ. You say, well, I think they should follow Jesus. I understand that, but people follow people. Where does your footsteps lead? The Apostle Paul wrote these words in 1 Corinthians 4. He said, wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. He said in 1 Corinthians 11, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Could I ask you a challenge this morning? Could you say to other people, follow me because I'm following Christ? And if you'll follow me, you'll be where Christ is. If you'll follow me, your life will... You say, that's kind of a boastful thing. I don't believe it's boastful if you're following Christ. I believe you're showing someone what to do because you're learning to do it. But are we more often saying these words, you need to follow Christ, don't do like I'm doing? How can you expect someone to follow Christ if you're not following Christ? Mom and dad, please. Parents, grandparents. The younger generation needs to look to some adults that are following Christ, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm not talking about what you did 10 years ago. We can't change the past. You can only follow Christ today. Maybe you didn't follow him well in your young days. Maybe you didn't follow him in the early days of your career. But now it's time to follow Christ. It's time to say, I was wrong. I went my own path, and now I need to be serious about following him. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul said, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. I would say this morning that we need people that are an example of people that are following Christ. Go to the book of John, chapter number 10. I've got two other places, one in John 10, one in John 21. Jesus began his ministry with follow me. All throughout his ministry, he repeated it again and again, follow me, follow me, follow me. In John chapter number 10, he gave the great illustration in verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep, what does it say? Follow him. Why? For they know his voice. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you heard the voice of God? When's the last time you read your Bible, or you went to church, or you were just somewhere, and boy, the Spirit of God spoke to you, and you knew that God was saying, you need to do this? Then I ask the question this morning, did you follow it? Did you follow it? See, that's what following Christ means, that when he speaks, we move. It might be something as simple as the Father said, would you talk to that person about me? Did you follow him? The Father might have said, would you please not act that way anymore? Did you follow him? The Father might have said, the shepherd of the sheep might have said, I want you to go and take care of this area of ministry. Did you follow him? Verse 5 says, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. That's an interesting verse. That when the world starts clamoring, follow me, that's supposed to be a strange voice to us. And we should flee from that one. Verse number 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. He's given us the indication of what salvation produces in our life. his following. Go down just a little bit later in the chapter to verse number 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. I think he's done that already, folks. In verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you and ye believed not. The works that I do, my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believed not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I think that Christ made it very clear that his sheep follow. Does that mean it's easy? No. And I love the last of this, John chapter 21. John chapter number 21. These are some of the last words of our Lord shortly before he ascended up into heaven to return again someday. We often know the passage as he was talking to Peter, and he challenged Peter about his love. Lovest thou me more than these? And he challenged Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And Peter was moved by that thought of loving God. If you love me, feed my sheep. But look at verse 19 of John 21. This spake he, Jesus, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, he's talking to Peter, and what are those two words? Follow me. Christ began his earthly ministry with Peter saying what? Follow me. Peter knew about Jesus. He knew who he was. He spent that 3 years learning more about him, hearing Jesus say over and over again, if you're my sheep, follow me. If you love me, follow me. Take up the cross, follow me. Now Jesus is about ready to go back up into heaven. He's talked to Peter, do you love me, Peter? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you, but my love is weak. And Jesus says, follow me. But look at verse number 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And there's the problem. Because this morning, listen to me, God says to every single one of us in this room today, follow me. And we're just like Peter. You know what we do? And what's he supposed to do? And what's he supposed to do? And what about him? And what about him? And what about her? And that we do? I mean, God's talking to us, and God's saying to individuals, because God is the great shepherd, and if you're his sheep, you hear his what? His voice. Now, if all you're hearing today is my voice, you have a real problem, all right? Because my voice can't help you anywhere. But the Spirit of God speaks to you, and he says, this is what you're supposed to do, right? And what does our fleshly nature say? I wonder if God told anybody else to do that too. Or am I the only one? It's real, isn't it? And this is what we do. We start looking around, seeing if anybody else is going to do it. Now, it's kind of like when they said, all right, let's go over here. And everybody stands around and waits. Just waiting for somebody else to. And everybody heard. But everybody's waiting for somebody else to do it. And that's why we don't have revival. Because God talks to every single person. Do you remember before you got saved how many times God told you to be saved and you kept waiting for somebody else to get saved too? God told you you need to go do that and you're just like. And you finally had to just follow him, right, and believe. Well, I'm just saying, what is God saying to you today about your life? I may not even talked about it, but I'll promise you the Spirit of God talks about it. Before you even came to church, he might have been talking about it. He'll talk about it this afternoon. Are you going to follow him? Are we going to be like Peter? What about the pastor? What about that person? What about those people? So what did Jesus say? In verse number 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow. And Jesus gets real personal now here. Thou, me. Peter, stop worrying about what everybody else is doing and follow me. Because I'm the great shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice, And Peter, I have something I want you to do. And Peter, you need to learn to follow me. Stop worrying about what everybody else is doing. Now, here's the most amazing thing. Did you catch the little word? Did you see what the Bible says? I just love every word in the Bible. Go back to verse number 20. Peter turned about and seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved. What's the next word? What was John doing? Was John doing what Peter was doing? John was doing what John was supposed to be doing. What was John supposed to be doing? Following. And here's Peter looking around and worried about what John was doing. And John was doing exactly what John was supposed to be doing. And I will tell you something, lots of God's people today get off track because they're looking at what other people are doing and worrying about what other, and if, listen, it doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. All I know is what you're supposed to do is follow Christ. And can I just say something today? If you're following Christ, then hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That's the whole great thing. Well, but we're not all the same. I'm glad we're not all the same. Peter and Andrew, Thomas were totally different people, but they all had the same responsibility. Follow Christ. And there's Peter. Jesus is really trying to help him. I think Peter got it. Because you go a little later on in the book of Acts, and you find Peter preaching the gospel. People getting saved. Peter gets put in prison. They bring Peter up there and they threaten him, don't you preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And Peter just says, what do you want me to do? Obey God or obey men? I'm following Jesus. And he followed Christ to his death. And he made an impact. Could I just say to you and I today, two words, follow Christ. He's going somewhere. He's got something for you. Find out those steps and walk in them. If you've walked away, come back. Don't worry what somebody else is doing. Follow Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, it's a simple message. Lord, it's so simple. Sometimes I think we overlook it. We're looking for great complex things of Christianity. And Lord, there truly there are great doctrines and great matters to discuss and to think about. But Lord, our life is to be lived in the simple faith of following you. We got saved by faith. We believed. And you made us a new person. And Father, we must live by faith. We must trust you every step of the day that we would follow you. Lord, we need to listen to your word. Lord, we don't step outside of your word. We don't do what we feel. We don't do what someone else is saying or doing because they say and do it. Father, we do it because the word of God says. We study it, we know it, we live it, and we obey it. And God, forgive us where we fail. Lord, you're such a patient God, such a loving shepherd. Lord, help us to follow you. In this time of invitation, God, would you speak to us to do as you would simply desire for us to do? We ask this in your precious name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. An invitation is a personal time between you and God. You can come and kneel and pray. Think you need to talk to the pastor, ask for some prayers or help for something, I would challenge you to do that. We're just going to stand to our feet for just a few moments as Miss Wilma plays the piano. You want some time to pray and talk to God, would you so do? If you're sitting here this morning and you say, Brother Bill, I'm not saved. I don't even know I'm going to heaven. I've never heard his voice about salvation, but God is talking to me. Then would you come and be saved? Maybe you need to follow him in baptism. Maybe you need to follow him in the church. Maybe you need to follow him in your life. But that's the invitation today. I'll give it to Pastor Matt to do as God would lead. You come today. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. God spoke to your heart. Just come and kneel and talk to him about it. Amen. Well, what a blessing to hear and to be reminded of our role as sheep, his role as shepherd. He's smart, we're not. And you know, the fact that Peter said, what about John, immediately says that Peter doesn't think Jesus is seeing the whole picture. How many of you think Jesus sees the whole picture? And as soon as he said that, he's just saying, Jesus, I think you're missing. No, he's not. And what we have to remember, and it's so true, and I'm glad it was mentioned, is that we have to follow, and we just have to mind our own business. He's given us a position. We just have to do what we're supposed to do. And if others want to dilly-dally, let's not allow that to distract us. We have to just keep following. And I was blessed personally yesterday by meeting a young man who is now a pastor. And there was a time when his family didn't necessarily want to follow, but now he is a pastor. And I'm just excited to see that. And sometimes when somebody doesn't do right, it causes us not to do right. Don't do that.
Amen.
Just follow Jesus, and let God take care of them. If you think that something's wrong with them, let God take care of it. Just take care of what you're supposed to do and follow Christ. It's very simple, but it's very profound. And it's interesting that the first time Jesus talked to Peter, he said, follow me. And the last time there, follow me. And it's just the same old instructions. And that's what we got to do is follow Christ. So praise the Lord for that. Well, let's pray. And we'll see you this evening at 6 o'clock. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for just the simple command to just follow and allow you to be the one in charge and to just be the sheep and to just obey the shepherd. Help us to not compound the problem by what we do or say, but rather that just simply obey and follow you and answer to you and to keep our eyes focused on you. I pray for others that aren't following, that they would realize that and that you would change their heart and their mind as only you can, not as we can. But help us to follow you and then help others to follow you as a result of our following. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.